VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad that you join us each afternoon as we talk about critical issues that are impacting us. They are issues that you're not going to get from the major media across this nation, but as you stay tuned to Crosstalk, so many have said you keep us informed on these matters. And so we thank you for listening. Thank you for passing on the information to others as well. As a culture, we will do anything, it seems, to save the whales or to save the dolphins, to save the wolves. I even found a website today that's set up to save the lobsters. Yet every day, human life is discarded. Recently, we had the 2018 report come out documenting U.S. abortion data for 2015. The numbers are going down, but still the numbers released indicated that some 2,465 babies are dying every single day. Well, today we're bringing the topic of life back to the forefront to address a number of current matters that are having an impact on the life issue. Joining us today, we welcome back Brad Mattis, the president and CEO of Life Issues Institute. They're headquartered in Cincinnati. And they have a mission, that of assuring through education and equal protection under the law for all living human beings from the beginning of their biological life at fertilization until natural death. Brad, so good to have you back with us today.
Thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Last Friday, Brad, my news alert went off. I'm sure you got word soon, too, thereafter, indicating that former President George Herbert Walker Bush had passed away. And today's program is not going to be a full examination of his presidency by any means. But if you would comment on President Bush and the life issue, I was reading that he used the power of his veto to stop at least 10 bills that contained pro-abortion provisions in them. But he was not always one that was known as being pro-life, was he?
No, he wasn't. As president, he did a great job for us. His veto pen was instrumental in stopping bad legislation. And he was there whenever we needed him. But as you said, he used to be very pro-abortion, and it wasn't until he was selected as Ronald Reagan's running mate as vice president that that all changed. And after George H.W. Bush was announced, my colleague, Dr. Jack Wilkie, was then president of National Right to Life. And he went to the hotel where the convention was, went up to the top floor, and asked to speak to Mr. Bush. And first he spoke to Bill Casey, who was his campaign manager, and later went on to run the CIA. And then after a few minutes, Mr. Bush, George Bush, came in himself and talked to Jack. And Jack said, we are really worried about where you stand on abortion. We really want to support the ticket. And he was going to give his position, and Jack said, no, don't give me your position now. What I'd like to do is brief you on the issue thoroughly and then have you tell me. And he said, sure. And then Jack said, well, I want 4 hours. And
wow.
That came as a shock to Mr. Bush, of course. And he said, it's very important that we can tell our people that you were thoroughly briefed and thought this was an important enough issue to take the time for it. So he agreed. He invited Jack to his Kennebunkport, Maine home, and Jack spent 4 hours showing him the Wilkie slides, as we used to call them, showing fetal development, abortion's effect on children, talking about the hard cases, arguments for and against abortion. And Mrs. Bush was seated a few feet away, knitting, and only asked one question, and what's your position when the life of the mother is at stake? Otherwise, she remained silent. And then that continued, and then they broke for lunch, and then Jack asked if he could bring in some other pro-life leaders to talk about campaign stuff, which they did. After that was done, Dr. Wilkie said, okay, now tell me what your position on abortion is. And at that point, Mr. Bush smiled, and he realized that he had been part of a plan. And he says, yes, you got me. He says, I'm much changed from where I was. He says, now I'm pro-life.
Wow.
And, of course, he held the exceptions of rape incest, which we didn't support, but he really flipped from pro-abortion to pro-life. And then as he was running for president, Jack asked him, well, if legislation comes to your desk without the rape incest exceptions, will you sign it? And he said, well, of course I will. And history was changed that day, and many, many lives were saved. Many women, mothers and fathers were spared the horrors of abortion because of that conversion of George Bush.
You know, that is just a very heartening story to hear, Brad, and to see how God used Dr. Wilkie for such a time as this. I mean, the impact where he allowed for him to cross paths with the future vice president and then president, how it really has changed a nation in so many regards, because had he gone into that presidency being pro-abortion, it would have changed the face of what we see even today.
Absolutely, and it would have impacted our ability to help elect Ronald Reagan president, and we know what a good president he was. But yes, as then George Bush took over as president, it was absolutely crucial that he be pro-life, and we benefited considerably during his 4 years in office.
Well, folks, again, we encourage you to continue to be in prayer for the Bush family. As even as we speak, there is the filing past the casket there in the Capitol Rotunda as he lies in state. And tomorrow being declared by the President of the United States, President Donald Trump, a national day of mourning. Well, Brad, you were with us before the midterm election talking about the matter of the midterm elections and the life issue. We're exactly now 1 month past the election. Do you have concerns going into the next congressional session?
Oh, well, we have concerns going into every congressional session dealing with Congress, of course. But after the election, what was our priority and most important was maintaining and expanding a pro-life majority in the Senate. And by God's grace, we are able to do that. It will make confirming those critical district appellate court and Supreme Court justices, if we have that opportunity, make their confirmation more certain. Of course, we never know until the very end. But the thing that concerns us most, of course, is that the House has changed from being controlled by pro-life leadership to likely being controlled by pro-abortion leadership. Nancy Pelosi or any of the members likely to take the helm are all very pro-abortion. So our goal will be working with the president. We're working with pro-life members of Congress to ask the president to veto anything that includes abortion or the funding of it, or turns back any safeguards we have for unborn babies and their mothers.
Well, we've got a lot to discuss on that very topic. Matter of fact, Charlotte Lozier Institute, the research arm of Susan B. Anthony List and Family Research Council, they have done a review of the state exchange plans covering abortion on demand, and they reveal some alarming information as it pertains to abortion coverage.
Oh, absolutely. There are about half the states have Obamacare state exchanges, and the other half have opted out. The problem is, Jim, is that in many of those states, most, some all, plans cover abortion on demand. And in the past, you couldn't tell until you bought the insurance plan whether it included abortion. Now President Trump is directing insurance companies to follow the law, which Obama did not do, and that is to bill for abortion services separately, so it makes it more obvious. But open enrollment began on November 1st. It runs through the 15th of December, so we still have time. And you can go to our website where we have information. We've done all the research that shows which states have plans that include abortion, which states have plans that do not, and then you can make your choice accordingly. And so it's really important that even if you don't use the services for abortion, you're paying that fee That's being used to fund the abortion industry.
And the website, Brad, that you referred to is?
It's through our website at lifeissues.org.
Mm-hmm.
Help me if you have it, Jim. Obamacare.
But as long as we can connect through your site, we'll just give out your site there for...
During the break, I'll get that exact address. But, yes, they can reach it through lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org, and get it that way.
While we look at this, as a matter of fact, President Trump, he's actually trying to get some rule changes in this regard, isn't he, as to the exchanges and rather than having all people pay for this, to have just those who are selecting that service?
That's part of the change. And the website, by the way, is ObamacareAbortion.com.
Okay.
The research has been done. All you have to do is click on your state, and it'll tell you which plans are available. Also, below are ministry share plans, which is kind of an alternative to insurance, but accepted under the Obamacare plan, and those are surprisingly very effective.
Again, you said ObamacareAbortion.com. Okay. Very good. So as we look at this current administration, Brad, I understand that just last week, Wednesday, there was a number of pro-life groups that were able to meet with Trump administration officials at the White House pushing for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. What do we know about this?
Well, there's just so much that the president can do. Of course, it was a meeting to thank him for all that he has done. He's the most pro-life president in our nation's history. But asking him to keep the pressure on, keep the heat on, getting him to veto legislation that includes funding for Planned Parenthood. That's a big ask, because there's a lot of heavy lifting that goes with that. But to keep the doors of communication only and do all that he can to end the funding of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I know the government funding bill has now been postponed by a couple of weeks. They had just a temporary bill, and in honor of, in respect of the funeral and the death of former President Bush. But this issue is going to come back as to a new government funding bill, and it's really important for taxpayers to speak out on this issue.
Oh, absolutely. The only way that we're going to get some sitting on the fence to oppose Planned Parenthood funding is if they hear from their bosses, and that's their constituents. And we recommend that you contact your local office, because if they get four or five calls in a day, that will make a bigger impact than if they were to get four or five in their Washington office.
Hmm. So, friends, what you can do is you can find their local district offices by going to House.gov and Senate.gov. You'll see where they have district offices around your state or your congressional district, and be able to communicate with your congressional offices that way. Again, that's House.gov, Senate.gov to find the local district addresses as well as the contact phone numbers for those offices. We're going to take a quick break and come back for additional discussion on life issues. Brad Mattis is our guest today from the Life Issues Institute, and this is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast are the continents eroding?
Chris, the answer to this question might surprise you. We know the volume of the continents above sea level. When rain falls on the continents, it erodes them grain by grain, and we can measure how much solid material is in the water as it finally reaches the ocean. As it turns out, the continents are eroding at such a rapid rate, they'll all be gone in 14 million years. But according to evolution, the continents are hundreds of millions of years old. Yet they're eroding so fast that they're not going to last. Something is wrong with that millions of years picture. The measurements we make are much more in line with the creation flood young Earth account. The continents don't fit the evolution idea, but they do fit the back to Genesis idea.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is our guest. He is president and CEO of Life Issues Institute. And if you missed writing down those websites in that first segment, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org, and ObamacareAbortion.com, where you can find out what of those exchange plans are putting abortion coverage into them. ObamacareAbortion.com. Brad, I know that as we're talking about the election in that first segment and the importance you saw for confirming judges that are going to be going through the Senate process and your concern for the Senate, we see that there are a number of cases that are actually working their way up through the court system. And just Monday of this week, here came a press release, email from NARAL Pro-Choice America with great concern. This is what they report, Brad. They're saying there are already at least 20 cases moving through the lower courts that could make it to the Supreme Court and result in a devastating ruling that would hurt and punish women, families, and communities all over the United States. But we have a plan to take action right now. Of course, they're looking for money to come in and send your email here. But NARAL, Pro-Choice America, sees at least 20 cases. We know there's a number of issues working themselves up through the court that possibly could hit the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes, there are. One of those could be possibly the ban on abortion after 5 months because the baby can feel pain. There have been conflicting appellate court rulings there. Legislation stopping abortions that target babies with Down syndrome. We've seen various appellate court rulings there. Legislation that are common sense protections for the women who have abortions that would be required of the abortion mill. There are various topics. Funding of Planned Parenthood, also the state's ability to withhold state Medicaid funding from Planned Parenthood. Again, split appellate court decisions. So it's really, really important that we have a majority of the Supreme Court that sees the Constitution realities that were put down, the fundamentals, the foundation that our forefathers put down. It's not a living, breathing, evolving document to change with a political wind. It is based on solid fact and law.
Well, we know that there's a reminder to the president. Thank you for being pro-life, but also please veto anything that is going to be funding Planned Parenthood. But I understand also that there is a recent letter that was just signed by 74 members of the Congress just last week. Chris Smith was leading that, Vicky Hartzler as well, but urging the U.S. government to stop using tax dollars to fund research that uses aborted baby body parts. And that's another whole aspect of this equation here.
Absolutely, and it's really good to see Congress come out with that letter because it adds additional firepower to the request. And HHS has met with the middlemen who sell these body parts, and they have also met with pro-life leaders and educators to talk to them about the realities of this. The monstrous, unethical choices that are made to not only kill the unborn child, but dissect it and then sell off the body parts for profit. The HHS has funded this in the past to the tune of about $103 million. They have canceled a recent contract not long ago for a little over $15,000, but you know, we've got a way to go before we end all of this. And now is the time to strike. Now is the time to stop that funding while we have a pro-life president in place.
Well, friends, as we're talking with Brad Mattis today from the Life Issues Institute, and we talk about the sale of aborted baby body parts, Brad, we know that right now, Planned Parenthood is desperately, they're trying to stop more videos from being released that expose their involvement in the sale of these aborted baby parts. They don't want the public to know. They don't want the public to be educated about what's really happening behind closed doors, do they?
Well, no, they don't. And, Jim, it goes farther than that, though, because if this evidence is able to be utilized against them, and they are convicted of selling baby body parts for profit, that's in violation of a federal law. And if they are convicted, any one of their affiliates, of violating a federal law, they lose their funding. That's what's behind their strong-arm tactics, their lies, and pulling out all the stops to keep these videos from seeing the light of day, to keep them out of hearings in Congress, to keep them out of FBI investigations, because this is for all of the funding that they get from taxpayers that they could lose if this comes to fruition, if justice is done, if the evidence is released, and we can bring this to an end.
Brad, as I introduced the program today, I shared some statistics recent released from the year 2015, which was reported 2,465 babies dying a day from abortion. That's 638,169 in the year 2015. And we can't ignore the fact that Planned Parenthood reported 323,999 abortions in 2015, and that tells me that's more than half of all babies killed through a Planned Parenthood facility.
Well, yeah, what's happening there, those figures are probably from the CDC, and they are low. We expect that they're closer to about 900,000. Guttmacher is the one that has the most reliable statistics, because California, Maryland, and New Hampshire aren't required to report.
I see.
So Guttmacher goes out and contacts all the abortion mills and gets an estimate from them. It's more accurate. So the numbers are a little higher. But it's important. What you pointed out is the fact that as abortions are coming down, the number of babies killed is coming down, the number of abortions that Planned Parenthood does is going up. They're getting a bigger share of the abortion market, a bigger strength in the abortion industry, and we're seeing many of the independent abortion mills go under and go out of business, and that couldn't make Planned Parenthood more happy, because they are competing against each other in the market of killing unborn babies.
Hey. Brad, there are some things that just defy logic. Killing an unborn baby is one of those items. But then it goes even further, where I saw on lifenews.com this list of some two dozen companies that they reported on helping to fund Planned Parenthood, from Adobe, American Express, Bank of America, Ben & Jerry's, Bath & Body Works, Clorox, Converse, Dockers, Energizer, Expedia, Frito-Lay, Groupon, Johnson & Johnson, Kraft Heinz, Levi Strauss, March of Dimes, Microsoft, Nike, PepsiCo, Pfizer, Starbucks, United Airlines, Verizon, Wells Fargo. I saw that list, and I'm looking at some of these, and our producer here said, you know, Clorox, they make nursery cleaning products, Johnson & Johnson, all the baby care products, March of Dimes, fighting for the health of all moms and babies. I mean, it just defies logic here. Tennis shoe makers who are, you know, are dependent upon young people being born and raised to wear their shoes.
Absolutely. And Johnson & Johnson is especially ironic, because they market and produce, their shareholders benefit when they sell more baby products. And that's why we need to keep working at them, to make them understand that they're killing off their market share.
Right.
Is what they're doing. It's a little difficult to boycott them all, but it's important for us as citizens, as stewards of the blessings that God has given us, not to support companies that fund the killing of precious unborn babies.
Brad, I've got a lot of things here to discuss with you today, and there was some shocking news recently that came out about a scientist in China claiming to have created the world's first gene-edited baby. What do we know? What's going on here?
Well, first of all, I think we need to understand the process. It's called CRISPR for short, for a long, drawn-out name. But if you can imagine in the old days of editing a cassette tape, audio, or film tape, where you cut out parts, splice it together, or cut it apart and add something, this is the process of editing the DNA, the genes, of a human embryo, and taking out the undesirable parts and then added in the good, so-called good parts. The reason this is considered so unethical, Jim, is that it's very likely that mistakes can be made when you're messing around with the DNA of a human being. And if that individual then is affected, not only does it affect this person, but it affects all of their offspring in generations to come.
Wow.
And the fact that this scientist in China claims to have done this with twin girls, he announced this last week at a conference in Hong Kong, and most all of the scientists were outraged that they would do something so reckless and so dangerous. Sadly, though, these same scientists say it's okay to create this life in the laboratory, just don't put it in he or she in the womb and allow them to go and have problems. Just kill them in the laboratory. So, you know, there's some hypocrisy there. But the Chinese government was very shocked, and they reported very outraged that this scientist had done this, and he was yanked out of that conference, even though he was scheduled to speak on Thursday. They yanked him home and said that they were appalled by this, it was illegal activity, and that they would bring it to a halt.
Aye. And the concern, of course, is who's going to take it to the next step down this pathway as well.
That's right. And whether it be level of intelligence or whatnot, once you start and open up this Pandora's box, it'll be impossible to close.
Hmm. Brad Mattis with us today. Brad, another story that came out recently, just so shocking. An abortionist in Utah, the name of Leah Torres, conveyed the message that it's okay to abort an unborn baby if they don't have permission to live in the mother's womb. She stated, "No one nor nothing uses my body without my permission." How does an unborn baby give permission?
It's impossible. And this would be laughable, Jim, if it wasn't so tragic. But the thing is she's advocating that, of course, abortion on demand at the whim of the mother for any reason, any time during pregnancy. She herself is a late-term abortionist. And in March of this year, she said something also outrageous. She actually exposed the ghastly things she's doing. And she said she was talking about the ability of an unborn baby to vocalize if that child is old enough. And she routinely severs the umbilical cord before pulling the baby out so that the child suffocates and dies, and there's no chance of that baby vocalizing the pain that he or she is enduring through the abortion. So we're talking about a very sick individual, somebody who is an active abortionist, an activist to keep abortion legal. And it's just really sad that in the wonderful state of Utah, where we have so many good people, that she is actually practicing this grisly business.
Brad Mattis with us today. We're going to take a quick break and a few more stories to share with you. And then we'll be opening phone lines to give you opportunity to ask a question of our guest today. Maybe it's a comment on some of these matters, some of them rather shocking, folks. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Christmas has become ground zero in an ongoing culture war where nativity scenes are nixed. Merry Christmas becomes Happy Holidays, and even the word Christmas is considered by some as offensive. Addressing this ongoing battle is the book The War on Christmas, edited by Bodie Hodge from Answers in Genesis. With full-color pictures and illustrations throughout, The War on Christmas provides answers concerning a host of issues and misconceptions surrounding Christmas. You'll learn where the name Christmas comes from. Is it a pagan holiday? What about replacing Christ with the letter X? You'll find chapters on the Christmas star, the virgin birth, the magi, why creation is important to Christmas, and so much more. This book also presents the gospel, which is often lost as this time is celebrated. The War on Christmas is available for a donation of $18 by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is our guest today from Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org. That's lifeissues.org. Brad, you're based in Ohio, and I see last week that Ohio's first abortionist was stripped of his medical license, Harley Blank.
Yeah, it was a good month last month for Ohio, and especially our babies and moms. But that's only half of the good news, Jim. On the 13th of November, our very first abortion mill in Ohio, in Columbus, had yet another failed inspection by the Department of Health, State Department of Health, and they surrendered their medical license to perform a surgical abortion. The following day, Harley Blank, the state's first abortionist, also voluntarily surrendered his medical license to avoid being disciplined for writing prescriptions that he shouldn't apparently have written, and they would have pursued those charges. He also earlier botched an abortion so badly that a woman lost her fertility as a result. This is the abortionist that Planned Parenthood gave an award to in 2012.
Who cares so much about women.
Yeah, right. So it was a good two-day twofer, if you will, for the pro-life movement, and it's got to be have a demoralizing effect for those who advocate killing babies in Ohio.
And then you look at what's happening legislatively in Ohio with the heartbeat bill.
Yeah. And the thing is we have an outgoing governor, thankfully, who claims to be pro-life, that had vetoed a major piece of pro-life legislation that would have ended abortion once the heartbeat can be detected. Now they appear to have a veto-proof majority in the Senate. They had they achieved that in the House. So I think they're determining whether they should vote now and override the governor's veto or just wait until Mike DeWine comes in, who will likely sign the legislation.
So the recent bill has been passed by both the House and the Senate at this point?
Just the House at this time.
Okay.
I think the Senate is still working on it. Last I read, that was the status.
Wow. Well, friends, certainly those of you listening in Ohio, that's an issue to keep abreast of. And, Brad, I know this is one of those kinds of alerts that you let people know through your website as well.
Right. We have an action item box, Take Action Now. It's a red box on our homepage at lifeissues.org. You can watch that for the latest priorities that we have as far as developing stories.
Life Issues Institute, as I said at the outset, you are pushing for equal protection under the law for all living humans from the beginning of their biological life at fertilization until natural death. And when we look at the other end of the age spectrum, Brad, as we look at this whole topic of killing the undesirables at in latter stages of life, there is no shortage of news what's happening on the euthanasia front as well either.
No, there's not. And even though these are international examples, it shows us what can easily happen in America if we let open that door for assisted suicide and euthanasia. In the Netherlands, Dutch officials are prosecuting a female nursing home doctor who euthanized a woman with dementia. She drugged her coffee, and then even though the woman objected, she had the family members hold her down while she administered the lethal injection.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And then doctors in Belgium euthanized a 38-year-old woman who told them she was suffering from insufferable and unbearable situation because she was diagnosed with autism. But the problem was she had never even been treated for autism. She'd just been diagnosed 2 months before, and they euthanized her. And now the officials are looking at putting the so-called doctors on trial. And then in something closer to home in Canada, they legalized euthanasia in 2016. The Toronto hospital called Hospital for Sick Children, ironically, this is so twisted, announced a plan to euthanize terminally ill children with or without parental consent.
Oh, my.
So if in their opinion the child is a capable minor and requests confidentiality, the family will not be notified until after the minor is dead. That, Jim, is where this is going. It's just across the border, and we have to understand that it's going to come here if we let the nose of that camel under the tent.
Friends, we're opening our phone lines here today to get take your questions, to hear what you have to say on these issues. Our number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. There are so many issues going on the matter of life, and as it relates to the continued spending bill here for the United States. Yes, it's been postponed a couple of weeks, but there's always been this component of funding Planned Parenthood. We see the whole aspect of the baby body parts issue. We see euthanasia that's working itself around the globe. And Brad, we have a number of states that do the so-called death with dignity here in the country as well.
That's right, and so far they have a handful of states like Hawaii, Washington, Oregon, have legalized physician-assisted suicide, and we're already seeing that the so-called safeguards are being quickly pushed aside and kicked to the curb, and we're seeing the parameters just expand at an alarming rate.
Our number at Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you have to see on the issue? 1-800-733-9829. Brad, your organization is deeply involved in education. Why is education on this issue so critical?
Well, Jim, education, pro-life education, is the foundation on which you build political and legislative victories. If George Bush Sr. hadn't been educated on the life issues, we know that many, many more babies would have died from abortion as a result of a pro-abortion administration. We can't expect elected officials to go to Washington, D.C. or the state capitol and take the withering vitriol that they get from the other side. They've got to have a passion in the heart and a real passion to defend the babies, and that comes from understanding what abortion does to unborn babies, what it does to the mothers and fathers of those babies. And that's why education is the foundation on which we have all these other victories.
And for that purpose, you've got a lot of research and information on your website to help individuals, to educate people all across this nation around the world.
We do. Jim, we have over 5,000 pages of pro-life educational information from cloning, fertilization, to euthanasia and everything in between. And if we don't have what you're looking for, it's pretty certain that we can find it for you.
The website again, folks, is lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. We're going to the phone lines. By the way, our number, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Troy is our first caller today. Hi, Troy. You're on the air.
Hi. I just appreciate you guys on the air. Bless you guys. May the Lord bless you guys. Just wanted to tell you guys I got some good news about going against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making gospel tracts stating scriptures. One of them is with Psalms 139. And one of the scriptures is also about shedding of innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I got John 10:10 going in there. The thief kills, steals, and destroys, but I came to give light more abundant to overflow,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. And I also got these pictures that are on here that show the baby inside the mother's womb.
Mm.
And the one below it shows the baby outside the mother's womb, about the same baby it looks like. It'll show everything what we're truly dismantling.
Troy, and I'm going to have Brad interject here, but I just want to commend you for doing what you can do to help spread the education. Brad, that's what he's doing here, is taking the tools available to him to help give a pro-life message.
Absolutely, and just imagine if we all did to our ability just what Tori's doing, educating others, our families, people we work with, our neighbors, people we go to church with, we could really have a dramatic impact. And he may have been using pictures that we've made available, beautiful pictures of an unborn baby that we make available on our website at lifeissues.org. The cost is very, very inexpensive, and then you have an unlimited use of those pictures to show why abortion is such a tragedy in America today.
Okay.
Thank you, Troy.
Okay, sounds good. God bless you guys.
Bye-bye now. And our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Joyce is next. Go ahead, Joyce. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm going to try to get through this. Back in 1969, I gave birth to our daughter, was born with her birth condition, Turner syndrome. And, she lived to be 38 years old. Mm-hmm. And, so over 11 and a half years ago, or about 11 year, over 11 years ago, she passed away. And, there was over 400 people that came to her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And, there wasn't very much parking available. It was on a corner of the church, and people had to park all four directions.
Yeah.
And there was two families that could not find a place to park.
Sure, let me just have you go right to the point here, Joyce, so that...
Yeah, two of them turned away and went and left to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just, she was... On handicap, MOCA and Disability Connections, and she served on many boards, and she was a valuable person.
Yes.
And so it doesn't matter, you know, what disability that a child may be born with, they're still a valuable person to the community, and
they sure are. I'm going to, because we're getting close to a break, I'm going to have Brad comment on this, because Brad, we're seeing a trend today. Let's test for this so that we can give parents a choice of aborting that child before they're born. Your comment on this issue.
Well, thank you, Joyce, for that touching story, and the fact that so many people showed up for her funeral. It's a testimony that she was a blessing to so many lives.
Yes.
And we won't know till we get to heaven just how many lives she touched, how many hearts she's changed, or people she's directed toward Jesus.
Thank you so much, Joyce, for your call. I'm up against a break right now. Brad Mattis is our guest from lifeissues.org. We'll take more of your calls following the break here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Recently, an internationally known pastor based in America was teaching on Joseph and his storing away grain in the years of plenty for the years of famine. And in doing so, he declared that what Joseph was doing was an example of the welfare state system. Nothing could be further from the truth. And the fact that this pastor wants to declare such is really shocking. And more proof of the Marxianity that I warn about in my brand new book at Marxianity.com. If the pastor were studying the scripture in context and even listening to his own words, he would know that he's contradicting the scripture and his own words. Because later, as he reads from the scripture, he declares that Joseph sold the food to the Egyptians. Well, how then is that a welfare state system? Be very leery of the pastors promoting Marxianity.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis today is with us. He is from the Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org. By the way, the other website we gave earlier, ObamacareAbortion.com. Just before we go back to the phone lines, Brad, I know that many will be shocked to learn that there is big money for those involved in abortion.
Oh, there certainly is. We call abortion the cash cow of Planned Parenthood. That's where they put their focus because that generates the most money. Looking at the tax filings of the affiliates of Planned Parenthood throughout the country is very revealing. The average CEO of a Planned Parenthood affiliate is over $255,000, over a $250,000. Now, we also did some research to find out what kind of income it takes to be in that top 1% of wage earners. It's about $422,000 a year in income. With that in mind, eight of Planned Parenthood CEOs and headquarters staff are paid salaries so high that it gets them into that exclusive 1%er club.
My. And yet we're funding them, what, $500 million in taxpayer funds every year?
Well over that now, yes. And they call themselves nonprofits.
Lawrence, Michigan, we have Kimberly calling. Hi, Kimberly, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just calling because I hear a lot of people talking about their, you know, pro-life. And I just, you know, it's good to be able to have a choice. I mean, what about the people, there's women who get tortured and raped, and then, you know, they should have to have this child and have that reminder every day, or there's, you know, for medical reasons, there's a woman, she had twins, and they had no esophagus, and she, you know, made the decision to terminate, or people with cancer, and they have to choose whether they should, you know, take chemo and try to be around for their children, or should they terminate their child. I mean, so it's important to have a choice.
Can you, Brad, comment on that issue, if you would.
Well, I'm so glad, Kimberly, you asked that question, particularly with the rape incest issue. It would be so unjust to inflict capital punishment on the child for the sin of the father in that case. And I have talked to countless women who have suffered rape, become pregnant, and the ones that I've talked to never once regretted choosing life for their babies. But I talked to several who regretted deeply the choice to have an abortion, and they felt that the abortion was a second rape of their body. One woman really put it wonderfully, where she said she was in that situation, she chose life. She said, "I'm choosing joy." And I've talked to other parents who have had babies incompatible with life, and those precious minutes or hours or few days that they spent with that child, they said they would never want to have that undermined. Those memories will last a lifetime, and they will see their baby again in heaven someday. So even for those hard cases, the choice is life, and God will bless us as a result.
Kimberly?
I should promote that, but really when it comes to being political, we really should have that choice. I mean, because we have complex lives, and, you know, each person is different, each situation is different, and especially when it comes to health care. I mean, if you take that out, what will that do to the health care system? And it's just,
What do you mean when you take it out? You mentioned what it will do to our health care system?
Huh?
You said what will it do to our health care system if we take away that choice?
I mean, that would take away some of our natural rights.
Well, is killing a human being a right, Kimberly?
Well, it's not necessarily. I mean, say you have children who are born, and they're not born yet, and they have they don't have esophagus, and they have they're going to be in tremendous super pain their whole life. Or, you know, what if a woman, she has cancer and she has, you know, four living children?
Sure, and you're presenting many situations.
So there might be small. In small incidents, the percentage might not be very high to where it might be more acceptable in the eyes of the Lord.
More acceptable in the eyes of the Lord to kill that which He has created?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. But, Brad, as you've addressed the issues here previous as to the issues as to the life of the mother and so forth. It's critical to understand that the taking of life of another human being, it's not one that's made of convenience. Scripture calls it murder, the hands that kill innocent life, innocent blood.
Well, and the thing is, the tragic thing is, if God has a plan for each and every baby, regardless of the circumstances of how they were conceived or the physical condition in which they enter this world, God doesn't make mistakes. He brings those children to us for a reason. Just as Joyce told us moments ago, she had a daughter with very dire physical condition, mm-hmm. but yet that child was a blessing to her and many around them. So we need to let the author of life have the say-so in life, and when we follow his will, we are blessed for it. I've seen so many cases where that's been lived out.
Kimberly, I'd like to leave Jeremiah 1:5 with you. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had a plan for the prophet Jeremiah, as he has a plan for each human life. Thank you for the call. We're going next to Hensley from Sardinia, Ohio. You're on the air. Hello, Hensley.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Are you sure there...
Hensley.
Okay, yeah, what that last caller was just saying, that I watched this DVD by Ray Comfort, 180.
Yes.
And that's the mentality of these younger people. Did you see that? I listened to it on Crosstalk,
yeah,
and then I got the DVD.
Yeah, Ray's been on
anyway,
the program.
Well, anyway, it's our culture. And it all goes back to the schools, what they're taught in the schools. Like in 1925, they put evolution into the schools.
Yeah.
Then Madeline O'Hare single-handedly took prayer out of the schools.
And certainly the promotion of this, forgive me for cutting you off, but we're down to 30 seconds. Brad, I want to put that 30 seconds in your court. What do you want to leave with our listeners here?
Well, I think it's very important to realize that no life is a tragedy when it's a gift from God. And we need to follow his will. And I've talked to so many parents who have dealt with a burden like that, and they have been so grateful that God has chosen their family in which to raise that child.
Amen. Brad Mattis is our guest, and friends, we've scratched the surface on the topic, but they have educational materials on their website that will address so many of these issues, even that which was raised from the recent phone call at lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. Brad, thank you for your work, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jim.
And friends, thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.